Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Well, good morning, or should I say buongiorno? Hi there, I'm Lynette.
You're going to rub that Italy trip into us.
Bonjour is from France.
Buongiorno.
Okay.
Buongiorno.
Yeah, you put an O or an I-O on anything, and it's all of a sudden Italian.
Fine. And what about the breakfast croissant?
The pistachio croissant. I had that a few times and was in Italy with wonderful friends for about almost 2 weeks. And then the strikes in the airport caused me to be gone last week. It's like, wait a minute, everything was planned so perfectly.
Well,
thank you, Mark Holland. Thank you, Mark
Holland. He did a great job.
He's amazing. He is our producer.
Yeah, and so he goes, okay, what question do you have for the doctors? Okay. I said, Mark, you have to say more than that.
Oh, so good to have Mark fill in, and actually so good to be back. So, and here we are, end of October. Beautiful weekend, sunshine for the next few days, but cold and crisp. This is the perfect weather. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it, yes. Dr. Mixon in the studio and Dr. Samira Umat. So what did I miss in the last 2 weeks? Anything big make medical news?
Nothing.
I didn't miss anything giant in medical news.
No.
Okay.
I was kind of disappointed. You know, Samira did not get a Nobel Prize.
I did not create the next miracle drug.
Not last.
No. There's
people
a whole lot.
Me for that.
There's a long list of things we did not do in the last week.
Okay. Yes. But I'm back now, so now you can do them. Now
well,
you
we missed
them.
You, so welcome back. Happy
welcome
to have
back.
You back. But
yes.
Mark did fine.
Oh, yes.
Very good.
Always. I've known Mark for 30 plus years, so it's wonderful to have good friends be able to step in, and he's our producer. When you don't hear him on the air, you will hear him in the background or putting commercials together and putting our shows together.
That's right. He's making everything go out over the air properly.
Yes, he is that man. So, all right, well, let's find out. It is cold season. One of the things I noticed with all of the travelers on our trip is on the last day, everybody was going, my throat's kind of sore, and they had the runny nose.
You know, I should have told you before you left, but for everybody traveling over this time when the risk of, you know, immunocompromisation is high, when likelihood of getting sick is higher, I tell them all to boost up their immune system a little bit before they head out by getting an IV therapy.
We were talking about that. I should have done that. Is it too late to do? Although I feel great now, so I was doubling up on NAC and some of the other things while I was there, and of course Relief Factor, doubling that every night.
Yeah.
And in the morning, I remembered, you know, I don't always do it like that, but I was needing to walk on cobblestone for miles every day and up and down stairs. You know, I have elevators and, you know, the Vatican, et cetera.
No.
Not yet. No, and they aren't going to put them in there.
They'll put them in just for you, though.
Yes. So I had the puffy ankles at night and drank lots of water. And by morning, Relief Factor, ta-da, ready to do it again. So.
Well, I did notice, you know, the big news that the Pope has decided that women still can't be priests in the Catholic Church.
Mm. Oh, has he?
Yes. That question came up and he said, nope. Not going to happen.
Okay.
Really?
All right.
So we'll see.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, somebody was telling me that they were attending an Indian event, and they were surprised to see that the event was presided by two women priests. Not one, two, and two young women. So
let me see. Does it take two women to do the job of one
No,
man?
Not that, but you know.
No, not at all. No.
It was just, it was a larger crowd, a lot more people. And so sometimes
they would have needed 12 men, but two women were fine.
Exactly.
Yes, that's what she
Some other institutions
say.
Would have had a dozen
a whole
men.
Dozen.
Here we had two women presiding over the events.
I'm outnumbered in this room.
Yes.
Yes,
you are.
There's just one of me and two of them.
Indeed.
I am so put upon. Woe is me.
Well, let's talk about colds and flu. Dr. Mixon, so, with everybody having the little sore throat and the little, runny nose.
My daughter did.
For a couple days.
She missed school yesterday.
Okay.
Oh.
Yep. So what's the best thing to do right
before,
now?
The night before, she said her throat was sore.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And she actually went downstairs and crawled into bed at 7 o'clock in the evening on her own and slept until after 9 and then, because
that's what I do. I'll just sleep it off.
And went right back to bed.
Cocoon.
Until early afternoon. Yeah. So, but today she's feeling better and ready to go to a birthday party.
It's amazing how kids just bounce back.
Right back.
That's right.
And when we get older, it just takes a lot longer. The other day I was watching football and I was looking at these players, bending down, getting up, jumping. And I was joking with my husband. I said, if I were to bend down like that, how long would it take me to stand up straight again? I would miss the whole play and maybe they would have a touchdown by the time I got up.
Yeah, I know.
But, a few weeks ago, UW Huskies played the Oregon State, and it was an amazing game. And I just wanted to say, we wished them well before the game because it was a home game, and they won that game, and it was one for the ages. A great game, a great victory
for
the Huskies. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. And were you out doing your cheerleader routine?
I was
jumping
not
up and down
cheerleading.
And waving the pom-poms around?
Well, nobody wants to see that. But it was the first time that we went down to the field. Everybody kind of just, migrated down to the field after the week. The students did right away. And then we were going to leave. And then I said, why don't we? Everybody's there. And so we did. And
everybody who's anybody.
Exactly.
Of course.
And then, of course, they're gently telling you, please vacate the field. And then there were a couple of players hanging around in the crowd, hundreds of people. It was just fun. So a shout out to the Huskies and good luck in your next games and the same too.
All right.
Seahawks.
Okay. Well,
let's talk about viruses,
shall
we? Let's
talk about viruses because it is virus season. You know, the weather is getting cold. We're spending more time inside. And, we are more susceptible to colds and flus. And so I'm going to once more recommend everybody go get your flu shot.
Mm-hmm.
It appears to be pretty close to the virus that's working this year. So it ought to help. For those of you who still don't understand, I've decided I'm not doing a COVID shot this year, nor am I doing an RSV. I am getting my flu. I'm overdue for my DTaP, so I'm going to go ahead and do my tetanus pertussis sort of thing, just because it's been 20-some years since my last one.
Right.
And it's just time because I'm 76. But I think, the numbers right now for COVID are the only people at really risk are the frail, the morbidly obese, and the extremely elderly.
Yeah.
And so, if your immune system is damped down from chemotherapy, from your cancer or something, by all means, go get your immunization. But the rest of us don't need it. So I know that's going to make the folks at the CDC and the White House relay unhappy with me, but quite frankly, I don't give a damn.
I don't care.
So,
you tell everybody to make their own informed decisions. This is what this is about,
There you go.
See where do you stack up in that risk stratification and then make your decision.
Precisely. And, any decision made by someone else for you is by definition wrong. Just because it's your life, it's your body, it should be your decision.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a firm believer in human freedom.
Right. And, you know, I got COVID recently, so I don't think I need a booster just yet.
No, you probably.
You just had your booster.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And man, what a booster.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But, all right.
You were actually sick for what, 3-4 days?
Yeah, I was. I think what worried me most was, I mean, I had a high fever and blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
But it was more the loss of sense of taste and smell. That really got me scared. The day I realized I couldn't smell the coffee Sunil was giving me, I'm like, what are you giving me? I can't smell anything. What kind of coffee is this? I couldn't smell. I couldn't taste. And he was forcing me to eat to keep up my strength because I was weak. Mm-hmm. I was just sleeping all day and night. But then, you know, I bounced right back. And it took a few days. I still was slow and sluggish for a few days. But mm-hmm. it was the relief when I could smell things again. It was like,
yes,
thank God that's back. Because, you know, some people don't get it back.
No, some people don't.
And I was scared. But you know, you do, like you said, Jerry, you stack the odds. I had forgotten to take zinc, so I got back on my zinc very quickly. I doubled up on my dose of vitamin D, and I took my antioxidants, boosted up my NAC a little bit, and then just waited and played the game.
That's what you do.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, this is Leading Edge Medicine. We are here to take your phone calls today. Questions, concerns, whatever it is that you are thinking of. Maybe you went into the doctor this week. You were given a diagnosis of something you don't understand, or perhaps you have some symptoms or a prescription that you don't know what's going on. The doctors are here. And if you have questions about aging, that is the specialty. So something that you're dealing with now that you didn't deal with 10 years ago. What can we do about it? Here's the number to call, 206-421-5757. Again, that's 206-421-5757. We're going to go to quick break right now, and then we'll start the show with Dave next. Stay right there. And if you've got a question, get on the phone. Phone lines are open. We'll be right back.
If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in line. With a 9-foot grin, a 10-piece band, and a 12-foot chorus line. I'd raise some loot in a 3-piece suit, give one dance for a dime. If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mine. Well, he said, friend, it ain't.
Oh, yeah. Good morning, Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette. Thank you, Mark Holland, for filling in for me the last two Saturdays. That was wonderful to enjoy some time in Italy. But now all I want is Italian food, and I want it made fresh and brought to me with a little glass of wine or wine, you know, 3 glasses of everything.
I mean, but it doesn't taste the same here. It tastes different over there.
I guess so. Yes. Wow.
But that bringing to you part, I mean, I don't know.
That was good. And then taking those dirty dishes away and then clean ones arrive. I thought it was wonderful. Oh, Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Samira Umat in the studio and Dr. Jerry Mixon. And here is that number to get through so that you're not waiting too long on the line. Phone lines are open at 206-421-5757. We're going to head over to Port Orchard. Dave is on the line. Hi, Dave. Good morning.
Hello, Dave.
Good morning to everybody. Beautiful, beautiful fall day here in the Northwest.
Uh-huh.
Man, can't beat that.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. Hey, according to my longevity doctor, I'm a very healthy guy.
Good.
But one thing I do have now is AFib, and it's been ongoing now. It started years ago very, very occasionally, and it's developed now to more of a chronic issue where it's happening about, maybe every 2 to 3 weeks on there. And, you know, of course, it's frustrating because everything they say to avoid AFib, you know, don't drink, I don't drink, it's exercise, I exercise, lead a healthy life, diet, you know, everything is fine, but just it's upsetting that that's became part of my life on there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'm on Eliquis. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my longevity supplements I can't take, like Relief Factor and Resveratrol. But now the doctor wants to put me on this other drug that it's hard to pronounce. But boy, when I researched it, it's really critical. I want your opinion of it.
Amiodarone?
Amiodarone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Boy, you read the literature on that.
I have a patient, a side story, a gentleman who was put on amiodarone. He came off of it, and he said he will never go back on that drug ever again, regardless of how bad his AFib is.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's
why?
Kind of what I read.
See, the side effects.
Yes, but what side effects specifically were bothering him? That's the question.
Well, you know, he had some renal issues with it. He had lethargy, fatigue, you know, everything that he didn't want. Again, same like this gentleman, robust, older, but healthy, active, worked out every day, watched his diet, and he couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly me.
And, you know, if you're, the cardiologist loves it because it does stop the atrial fibrillation most of the time, but the quality of life. Why, you know, why fix one thing and make yourself totally miserable for the rest of your life with everything else? Have you talked to your doctor about whether or not you're a candidate for the Watchman?
No, we haven't gone that far yet.
Okay.
But I've read about that. And, of course, that doesn't stop AFib.
No, it doesn't.
It prevents you from clotting, right?
Well, yeah, it prevents you from having the strokes and you know, flipping the clots off and the pulmonary embolisms.
Correct. But for the AFib, he could probably talk about ablation. Did they try that for you or?
Oh, no, I haven't gone that far yet. This is new in my life. And I wonder, you know, my AFib, most time when I get it, it lasts maybe 4 hours and I self-correct. One time it lasted about 12. But can I just live with it? I am taking the Eliquis, and doesn't the Eliquis prevent me from the risk of stroke? Like the
it lowers the risk. Yes. It lowers the risk of stroke and pulmonary embolism. It doesn't abolish the risk. Okay, it decreases
but the Watchman
risk.
Does. Or the Watchman
well,
does.
The Watchman does a better job than the anticoagulation. And of course, the ideal, if you really want to lower your risk, would be to do them both, perhaps.
Well, with the medication too, you know, you run the risk of bleeding.
Wait a minute,
sir,
excuse me. I missed that last comment you made.
Well, I said, you know, sometimes it's kind of a belt and suspenders in which if you've got the Watchman and you've got some degree of anticoagulation.
Okay.
The thing that worries me about Eliquis is that some of the things that we know enhance lifespan and enhance quality of life and quality of function are things they don't want you to take on the Eliquis, like the resveratrol.
Right.
You know, resveratrol is one of the most effective drugs at preventing stem cell senescence. You know, our stem cells are regenerative cells that are in every tissue in our body. They're in our brain, our heart, our lungs, our skin, our kidneys, everywhere, our bones. And as we age, we get fewer and fewer stem cells, so we're not less and less able to grow new and repair tissue. And the stem cells we have become less and less competent. There is senescence of the stem cells over time.
Yeah.
Resveratrol is one of those compounds that does a super job of rescuing stem cell senescence.
Yeah.
And yet it's one of the things that they say when you're on Eliquis, you shouldn't take.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, you're taking a drug to decrease your clotting. On the other hand, you're accelerating the rate of degeneration of your body.
Well, but they don't care about that. All they care about is stopping the blood clot.
Yes, precisely. He's a cardiologist,
right.
And he's worried about you flipping a clot because of the heart.
Right.
But
the other problem, though, with Eliquis also is the risk for bleeding.
Yes.
So, you know, GI bleed is common, and an intracranial bleed also can happen.
Yeah, and it's true. Although the risk on Eliquis is about 1/4 the risk of using the warfarin.
It definitely is. Lower.
So it's better than the older warfarin.
Correct.
But it's not perfect.
Right.
But then nothing is.
Okay, so what are my alternatives? AFib's the fact I do have it. Is the pacemaker the answer?
Well, if you can get an ablation.
Cardiac ablation
therapy that stops the atrial fib permanently, that would be the way to go. Now, the problem, of course, is that nothing done to or by human beings is perfect, and ablation does not always stop.
It doesn't always work, yeah.
That's right. Sometimes it does a wonderful job, and sometimes it does a not-so-wonderful job. But if a cardiac ablation will, you know, disrupt that circuit and keep you from getting your atrial fib, then we can get you back on the medications that will enhance your life, both your lifespan and your quality of life.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I develop atrial fibrillation, that's one that I will certainly consider.
Is ablation.
Yeah, atrial fibrillation increases with age, obviously. You know, we've used those that microcirculation in our hearts for a long time. And the first blood vessels that go bad are the tiniest ones, the ones that are so skinny that the red cells have to go through one in single file. And we're thinking that's probably what's happening with us with our atrial fibrillation, that that circuitry that is supposed to make the heart contract in a nice, organized fashion, the electrical components of it are going bad because of just wear and tear and microcirculation issues that won't show up on the scans. Oh, go ahead.
Ablation, can they do it once, and if it doesn't work, they ablate another area? Or how does ablation work? Do they go in there and just nuke the whole thing and get it over with? Or how do they do that?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of different patterns they use. But basically, they go in and use a microwave generator that heats the tip of this catheter, and they kind of do a crosshatch pattern, and the superficial layers of the atrium, of the endometrial layers of the heart, are basically cut in kind of a crosshatch, so that if the electrical impulse starts to go, it gets stopped because it hits basically a scar tissue barrier that it can't get through. But sometimes they don't go quite deep enough, or sometimes some people's, you know, circulatory system is not quite according to the standard plan, and the pattern of crosshatch just doesn't stop it. And so for the people it works, it can work wonderfully and get them off all their medications, and they don't have atrial fibrillation anymore, and, you know. But some people end up needing a pacemaker afterwards, and some people keep going into fib and then still end up on the medications. And so, you know, talk to your cardiologist and probably the electrophysiologist that he would refer you to.
You know, I don't have much faith in my cardiologist. I hate to say that, but, you know, finding a decent doc nowadays is not easy. They're out there, I know, but boy.
Finding any doc these days is,
so
I mean,
true.
It's a 2-3 month wait just to get in and get seen. And if it's somebody you don't know, you have no idea how good they are before you see them.
You're telling me.
Right.
So it's scary what to do there. So on there, if worse comes to worse, what is the big disadvantage of a pacemaker? My 94-year-old mother-in-law has a pacemaker, and she loves it.
Yeah. Well, again, pacemaker is a general term. There's lots of different kinds of pacemakers used for different reasons. There's the old, you know, single polar that just they put it in the ventricle, and it just makes the ventricle contract whenever the pacemaker tells it to. There's two lead pacemakers, one in the atria and one in the ventricle, that they use basically to pace the atria to preload the ventricle, and those tend to be more efficient. You know, there's overdrive pacing that they do to prevent you from your own heart from taking off too fast. There's pacemakers that are set that have a low level, that if your heart tends to slow down too much with your atrial fibrillation, it won't let it drop below 60 or 65 or whatever they set it at.
Yeah. You know, that's another thing that concerned me. This drug the doctor recommended, it slows your heart rate. My resting heart rate at night is around in the high 40s, you know, 47, 48. So, you know, that's according to my Apple Watch. And, you know, when I'm not AFib and I exercise, I'm just very, very active, and it's no problem, but just occasional. Should I just live with the occasional AFib for a while till it gets worse, or is that dangerous?
Well, see, the occasional is more dangerous than the consistent. The worry with the occasional is that in that time in which you're in atrial fibrillation, you may form a mural thrombus, a clot along the wall of the atrium. And then when you go back into sinus rhythm, that atrium contracts and knocks the clot off. And that's when you have your pulmonary embolism or your heart attack or your stroke, is when you go from atrial fib back into normal sinus.
Yeah. Doesn't the Eliquis protect that, though?
Well, it's supposed to. It decreases the probability of a clot.
Okay.
It's not
100%. So what would you do if you're in my position? We're just about the same age. I'm 73. What would you do?
Yeah, and I'm a few years older than you. Once more, I'd be talking to the electrophysiologist. I'd try the medications first. If we can stop me from having atrial fib and I still feel great, that's wonderful. But if the side effects of the medicines are too great, then I'd talk to him seriously about either a Watchman and or an atrial ablation.
Yeah. So you do the Watchman before the ablation.
I talk to them about both. I wouldn't make up a decision until after I spent some time chatting with the cardiologist and the electrophysiologist.
Yeah.
Okay, get
so
the expert opinions first.
The drug. I mean, just what I've heard about it, it's just terrifying.
Yeah. So. Get the expert opinions before you make a decision.
Yeah, I will do that. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Take
care,
Dave. Bye-bye.
All right. Taking a quick break and back with John, Ken, and another Ken with your questions. And there's room for you at 206-421-5757. This is Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette. We'll be right back with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat in just a moment.
Tequila.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
It's Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning. I hope you're able to enjoy some sunshine out there. It's cold. It's crisp. The leaves are changing. It's gorgeous. I love this time of year. I'm Lynette. Dr. Jerry Mixon here in the studio. Dr. Samira Umat, too. And taking your phone calls at 206-421-5757. We're headed to Tacoma. John has a question for the doctors. Hi there, John.
Hello, John.
Good morning, all. How are you today?
We're good. Great.
I'm glad that. Hey, I've pestered you in the past, and I'm going to keep on pestering you.
Okay.
That's good.
Anyway.
We're going to have somebody call in, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a prostate that I just had an MRI done on.
Uh-huh.
And got the results back from the MRI and scheduled for a biopsy already.
Okay, good.
So I guess my question is what everything you've said so far has been, you know, has gotten me ready for the next step. And so I'm wondering what goes on after the biopsy.
Okay.
It's the what do you call it? The
urologist?
Yeah, the has went over with me. The findings and stuff, it's kind of iffy if there's anything there or not. He says that the appearance of the central gland is consistent with benign prostatic hyperplasia.
Good.
So I'm thinking it's going to be more of a see what's going on in there, and then
if it's consistent with
out.
BPH,
why are they doing a biopsy?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you usually if you do an MRI and you see something suspicious for a cancer, is why you biopsy what you think may be a cancer.
Yeah.
If it looks like BPH, then you don't have a real indication for the biopsy. That kind of raises my eyebrows just a smidgen.
Yeah, because I've got, you know, measurements and all that other stuff here, and I was kind of wondering that after reading that.
What's how high is your PSA?
It's 7 plus.
Okay, so it's pretty high. And how big is your prostate?
7.1.
What are the measurements?
7.1.
That's the reading on the PSA.
PSA. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Prostate volume.
Yeah.
Is that what you're?
That's what I'm asking.
5.0. 4.7 by 2.8 centimeters. And then there's a 34 cc beside that.
Okay, so yeah, so 34 cc volume is, that's not all that big. You know, this is not one of those 80 and 100 cc volumes.
Oh, really?
No.
I mean, wow.
It's bigger than average. You know, it is. That's why they're saying hypertrophy, because it is enlarged. But what kind of symptoms are you having?
I found it. It'd been a number of years. 18 was my last PSA, and then I got one in January of this year, and it was up 6.8, I think it was. And then the next one was, like 7.1, and it set off a bunch of alarms. So,
yeah,
I guess I'm.
Well, and those alarms, you know, those are a good reason to do the MRI. But if the MRI doesn't show anything suspicious of a malignancy, then I say, what are they biopsying? And they're just doing a random biopsies then. You know, generally, when I send somebody out for an MRI, it's because I want to know, is there anything here that needs to be biopsied? And if we see a significant lesion that is suspicious for a cancer, then we want to get a piece of it and see what it is.
They were saying that it there's no
no focal lesion.
There's imaging. The lesion is seen as a well-defined focus of low signal intensity, T2 score of 4/5.
Okay, so there is a lesion, a focus lesion that they're looking
at. Yes, it is.
All right. Yeah, so see, if there is a specific lesion, if they've got a well-defined focal lesion, now you've got a good reason for the biopsy,
mm-hmm.
because you want to find out what is that lesion.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay. Now, see, you gave me more information and totally changed my mind.
Yep.
Oh.
Because before I was scratching my head saying, why are they biopsying this poor guy? But now I say, okay, good choice.
Yeah.
Biopsy it.
Mm-hmm. If they do see a focal lesion, you want to find out whether there are any atypical cells in that lesion or not. And if there are, then they'll future diagnostic or therapeutic treatments will be based on what the biopsy results come back at.
That's right.
Yeah, they also said there's no evidence of anything, no bone, no...
No metastatic disease right now. Yeah.
Sure.
Good.
Yeah.
That's all good.
Yeah. And at the moment, it's a well-defined lesion. So it doesn't look like it's something spreading. It doesn't look like it's anything worrisome. So
correct.
This is all very good news, except you do have something there that they don't know what it is, and they're going to go take a piece of it and find out.
Right. And, you know, it hasn't spread anywhere. It hasn't gone anywhere. If it is focal and a small lesion, it's easy to manage and treat it in case it is malignant.
That's right. So... I think you're...
I'm on the right track then.
Sounds like you're on exactly the right track.
Yeah.
Yep. If that were my prostate, I want to know what is that lesion.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. So, and me having to read this to you, I learned something too. So.
Good, yeah. And we're in agreement that the biopsy is a good idea. So.
That's right.
So, you know, keep us informed and let us know how things go, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. I will take that, and I will get back to you.
Okay,
take care.
Thank you for your call, John. And you can call too at 206-421-5757. And when we come back after this break, we're going to talk about something that you can do to find out if you could be a candidate for cancer down the road, right?
Absolutely.
All right. It's called the Galleri test, and we're doing it again at all three of our clinics in the month of November. So grab your pen, grab your paper. We will give you some details on that right after the break. Stay right there. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be back. Yeah, tonight. And we're back,
Leading Edge Medicine. We're all dancing in the studio. What a day. It's gorgeous outside, and we are live in the studio. Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon. Before we take our next call, we have something going on. The month of November is Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month. And I think years ago, we used to say, wouldn't it be nice if there was some way to tell if we had the genes or a predisposition to cancer?
Or
now
if,
we
yes.
do.
If you have early symptoms.
Yeah, early
cancer.
Symptoms.
And the gallery is one such test.
Yes.
It is the only test like this in the market where with one blood test you can detect early changes of cancer for 50 different types of cancer.
That's a lot.
And so what happens is, you know, your DNA sends out some changes in the blood. The gallery test can detect that, and they can then give you a marker and then to say, you know, this is the area where it's coming from. They're the best for the GI system, so pancreatic cancer, esophageal cancer, colon cancer, so on and so forth. So if you are worried about it, or if you have had somebody in the family have it, what basically the test does is buys you more time. So early detection, you know, will help get you a better longevity, more cure, likelihood for better treatment options. And gallery test has, over the last few years that's been available, shown that it is allowing people just that time, early diagnosis, early intervention, and therefore a better prognosis. Mm. And this is what we're all about, detecting it early. So the gallery test in and itself is a very useful test, but now, especially during November, which is Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month, we want to open our doors and have this available to people who are not longevity patients, who don't know where else to go get the screening done. So at our clinics on November 4th in Linwood, we will run this along with our health analysis visit for anybody who's interested in knowing it. And what we're doing is dropping the price from $1,250 to $1,100.
Okay.
And then also going to give, as a thank you to everybody who comes for the test that day, give them a free bag of Relief Factor.
Ooh, wonderful. And this is for new patients.
Okay. And then you will then, once you do these tests, you'll get 1 hour appointment with your doctor to come back and review all the tests. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have do so many things in prevention. And first you begin with knowledge. Where are you? We're all aging. So to think that, oh, I'm healthy, I don't need it, is you're just hiding. You're just basically putting your head in the sand and ignoring it.
The problem, especially with pancreatic cancer, is that it's typically diagnosed after it has spread.
And it's one of the fastest growing, or just most?
Well, it's diagnosed just, so late.
That's
the
why.
The pancreas is way in the back of the belly. And there's not many symptoms until the tumor has already spread and is now causing pain because it is invading your bowel or the abdominal wall or something. And so, you know, when we find pancreatic cancer, it's normally already spread all over. And lifespan is a matter of months frequently. So what we're the hope is that if we can find it before you have any symptoms, you know, if I'm going to find a pancreatic cancer, I want to find it in someone who feels great. They have no indication that they might have a cancer. They're not losing weight. They're not having GI problems. Mm-hmm. They're not. I want people that think they're healthy. And then if we find that tumor while they still think they're healthy, we've got our best chance at keeping them alive.
Yes, right. And fighting that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The gallery test and the HA test for new patients.
Yes.
And this is happening November 4th. That's just 1 week
next
from today.
Week,
so
yeah.
That's next Saturday. Yep. And this is going on in our Linwood Clinic.
Right.
And then at the end of the month, November 18th, 3 weeks from today in Tacoma and in our brand new Kirkland Clinic, we're
right,
doing this.
Right. Before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And Linwood is already booking up, actually. So if you are interested for staffing purposes, I urge you please to call early. Mm-hmm. And let us know so we can have the adequate number of team members there to help you.
Very good. And here is that number to call. To inquire, make an appointment, because it is appointment only, you can call right now, as a matter of fact, 866- 86 Young. Okay? 866-86 Young to make that appointment for the gallery test and HA. That's the health analysis. And of course, that bag of relief factor. And you can get that November 4th in our Linwood Longevity Clinic. And the Tacoma and Kirkland Clinic will be taking appointments for that November 18th, which is 3 weeks from today. But don't delay because those slots do fill up fast.
And you know, because you're going to do a health analysis blood draw, we will do the free blood test and the in-body as well. So okay, it's not just one or two things. There's quite a bit of stuff
yes,
going on that
lots
morning.
Of information.
Yeah.
So important. So important. Okay, that number again, 866-86-YOUNG. All right. Let's go to the phones. We have Ken calling in from Vashon Island. Hi there, Ken.
Howdy, Ken.
Good morning.
First off, I'm one of your patients out of the Tacoma Clinic, and in my third month, actually.
Wonderful.
So we're going down that path. But today, I was listening to you here with a couple callers back, and you were talking about stem cells.
Mm-hmm.
So here I am. I've got a diagnosis of osteoarthritis in my left hip, and I believe it was like a stage 3 or a level 3.
Okay.
Okay, so it has been recommended that I have stem cell therapy by my doctor.
Okay.
And to kind of give you a little background, I had a stem cell therapy done on both hips 2.5 years ago. So it was mentioned that perhaps I just needed to have it done again. Now, I'm looking for a second opinion, basically, and I
sure.
know that you have Dr. Nelson as a guest and has talked about stem cell therapy in the past, too, and in your ads today. So maybe he's a good source for a second opinion, but I'd like to know what your thoughts are about stem cell therapy for this type of a situation. I'm 69 years old, in good health other than this doggone osteoarthritis in the left hip. So that's my main question. I do have a side question, but I can wait for that one later.
Did you respond well to the stem cell therapy last time you had it done?
I thought it was doing me some good. Now it's all kind of a qualitative measurement.
Mm-hmm.
There's no quantitative way of knowing this other than I know that I've had an x-ray of both hips, and the cartilage is going away in my left hip, and they say that it looks like it could be the same beginning on my right hip.
Mm. Okay. Let me ask you some questions about your...
Regenerate.
Well, yeah, that's the purpose. But let me ask you some questions about the stem cell therapy you've had, because there's a lot of people that are using frozen cells that are really not stem cells. They're exosomes. But it's being called stem cells. So did you get...
They drew it out of
your bone or out of your abdominal fat, either one?
It was blood, my fat tissue, and my hip bone marrow.
Okay.
Oh, fat and bone marrow.
All right.
Yes. There were three components to it.
Yeah.
And they
the PRP comes from your blood. And so, and it's almost always stem cell and PRP. Usually they're either doing adipose stem cells or they're doing hematologic from your bone marrow. So I don't usually hear from both.
Yeah.
But they are two very acceptable approaches. Mm. So I just I was hoping you had not fallen into that trap of getting the frozen stuff.
Yeah.
Commercial. No, these were my own stem cells.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what we want. One of the problems of aging is that our stem cells become less and less viable. We lose stem cells. The stem cells die like in every other tissue, and they become senescent, in which case they're not doing as good a job as youthful stem cells. So, so when we're getting stem cell therapy in our older age, we're by definition using less effective stem cells. The good news about longevity is that there are things we can do that will increase stem cell viability that actually increases both the number of stem cells and rescues the senescent stem cells and allows them to regain their vital functions again. So that's one of the reasons Dr. Nelson says he loves it when our patients come to him, because he's got a much higher chance of success, because they're using better stem cells than the average person. And there are several things we want to do as part of your therapy at longevity. We want to increase your microcirculation. We want all of your small arteries to be as functional as possible so that all of your tissue gets the best blood supply and oxygenation that it can. And we want you to have great stem cells, and we want you to have great platelet function. And if we can get all of that cooking, then we can usually get you having better, you know, better results with your stem cell therapy. We've only got about 30 seconds before the break we have to take. It's a hard break that we
don't have a choice in. We'll take a break, and then we'll be back.
And when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, what you're doing at Longevity and what we can do to get your stem cell function, and maybe time your therapy after we've got you tuned up as much as we can. Okay?
All right.
That sounds great.
Okay. Stay right there, Ken. We'll take a break, and Leading Edge Medicine will return in just a moment. Stay right there. We'll be back.